Blog Talk Radio.
Let me call him and tell him what number to call in on, okay? Don't do, you know, just hold on until you pick up. Okay?
I will, because we are very slow. Is he doing it on this?
No, not on the over there. To this. Just hold on.
Okay.
Don't do anything. Wait.
Okay, what? Hello, Rob?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I hear you very well.
Good, good. Fantastic.
Good. Okay.
So how have you been? Are you working from home?
I'm working from home. I've been great. Everything is good. How about you?
That's probably why we're doing the interview. As such, I am doing well. I've been working on my bucket list for the last 12 to 18 months. I'm going to be 61 in July. Kids are growing up faster than expected. Janice is going to be 19. Jamie is going to be 22. Jamie should finish a bachelor in July of next year. So she's got 15 months to go. And Janice should be finishing her apprenticeship banking at the Credit Suisse also next July. Janice, who's going to be 19, moved into one of the student apartments with friends about 6 months ago, and Jamie is expecting to leave the house next July. That's July 17. So as of July 17, Claudia and I will be the two of us again. So, but kids have been, are doing well, very pleased, no big drug, alcohol, or other problems.
Right.
And going to be married 25 years, so we're going to be the renewal of the vows in October. We do that at 25 years. I don't know when the Americans do that. So all in all, that's all been good. The thing we have had, of course, here in especially many years, actually, but, you know, with the whole SEC registration, with lawyers, with compliance officer, I've got a compliance officer who is a lawyer in one day a week. I need more personnel than before. Things are more complicated than before, working with clients as such. And then, of course, on top of that, as you know, I always believe in a weak dollar. We had a strong dollar for 2 years. Metals didn't do quite as well as I had hoped for, so performance has been lousy. So that's actually the main reason I went back to Michael and Sovereign and Oxford and said, you know, do a little bit something for us, with us, because we really need to grow our business again. That's really where I am at the moment. This quarter, first time in 2 years, first quarter 2016, because of a weakening dollar, because of stronger gold prices and so forth and so on, we do have performances at the moment of anywhere between 7 and 12%. For the first quarter of this year, which is definitely much better than a lot of our peers.
Right.
But they probably did better the last 2 years than we did. So it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle. My personality is as such that when I lose money for clients rather than make money for clients, it really wears me down. And then,
because
my wife just said, you know, at the end of last year, she said, yeah, but you're always so down when the markets go down. I said, it's not the markets going down. That's not why I'm depressed. I have people who entrust their money to me, which they have worked for all their life. They entrust it to me to manage it and perform, and they're losing money with me. That's what gets me down. It's not the markets.
I understand.
So we had a long discussion there.
Well, you know, what can I say? I have. We're going to ask questions, and we have an hour of time to get all
Perfect.
This in. But yes, I definitely commiserate with you. We ASI knows that I'm working with a money manager now for the first time instead of just training money managers.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I understand what you're saying because I got an insurance license, which is terrific because everything is guaranteed, and although it's for high-end people and they really are making an investment, it's still there are guarantees behind it, and they're doing it to be out of the market. So now they've asked me, well, why wouldn't I get my license, my securities license? Because they manage money. And I said, well, for the same reason you just said, because it is painful. Now, you're 61, I'll be 68.
Mm-hmm.
It's painful late in life to be carrying on other people's burdens like that and feel that responsibility.
Yes,
it really
absolutely.
Is. It's a time in life when, you know, you want to be free.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I really do get it.
That's actually another thing I said to Claudia. I said, and don't, you know, I said, don't misunderstand. We also have these investments, and we have been losing money. However,
right.
I'm getting a monthly salary. A lot of these people who entrust their money to me don't get a monthly salary. They
right.
depend on this. That's another big one, right?
It's a very, very big one, and that's why, you know, I've said no so far. And it's interesting, again, we'll talk after the interview, but when you do insurance, you get paid once. When you do money management, you get yourself the trailers and the residuals, and it actually is easier after I retire. But I'm afraid to do it for the same emotional reasons that you're telling me right now. So I'm
yeah,
with you. I get that.
Yeah, it is really, it depends on the personality, although I love what I do. But my personality is that I cannot walk out of the office and just forget it because it
right.
is a lot of worry in my backpack as to what
right.
I do or rather not do or mistakes I make. Whereas a lot of other people feel, oh, well, you know, it's only money, whatever. And I've never been like that for the past, whatever, 30-some years. So,
but also,
you know,
got to take your own advice. The markets
yeah.
straighten out and they go up. So
yeah.
what you didn't make now, you'll make up later for everybody.
Well, and we did. I mean, the thing is, we had quite a few people starting with us 3 years ago. And
right.
they only had one good year. But people who have been with me for a while, 2009, 2010, we were up 25-26%
right.
every year.
Right. So they and I'm sure they remember that, too.
Those
so,
do, but the ones who started 3 years ago don't.
They don't.
Because
no,
they
I
were
get
not
that.
With us.
Well, you know what? Let's get some new people to start with you now. So
yes, absolutely. That's
have,
what we desperately need.
So this, I have a list of about 10 questions. We're recording it, but we're not going to be playing it. I'm recording it to transcribe it. So
very
there'll
good.
Be no problem editing it, changing it, whatever,
great.
Adding to it, taking
perfect.
Away. So let's just get Rich's questions down, and then
okay.
we'll go to some of mine, okay?
Okay.
So first, we're starting now. Just give me the background of your company in the way you would like it presented, the full name, and also when you started, which is, what, 30 more years ago, and what your services are, plain and simple.
Okay, let me do that. So the name is really easy. We just go by a four-letter word, WHVP. That is now
right.
the name of the company, and not Weber, Hartmann, Freyhoff and Partners, just WHVP. I started banking back in 1976. I worked my way up to be the head of the portfolio managers at the Focal Bank, which belonged to Nicholas Deak. Whereas I got to know Michael Checken, that was my last bank I worked for from the mid-80s until 91. In 1991, I decided that I really would want to go out on my own for the main reason that as a portfolio manager, head of the portfolio managers, I wasted a lot of time in management meetings, which didn't do anything for me. On top of that, I had like 800 clients, which is not, you can't work 800 clients. So I decided that in 1991, if I could get out on my own, and if I could, you know, get in $40 to $50 million that would probably give me the same wages as I had at that time at the Foreign Commerce Bank. So went out on my own in 1991, at that time still with Weber and Hartmann, but they were really just shareholders, not really a big part of the company. That worked quite well. So the Focal Bank, the Foreign Commerce Bank, already was really close to the American clientele. We had people such as Harry Brown and Jerry Smith who you know, sort of talked about the Focal Bank in books and so forth and so on. So we had a American clientele, and I already at that time at the Focal Bank felt that I was the right asset manager to work together with Americans. I felt you have to pick a market with clientele you are comfortable with.
Right.
So that's what I did. Then I probably had my, I probably about after 3 years, I had about $45 million under management. And at that time, I had also met Michael Checken again. And then I started in 96. I started out with the Oxford Club as a newsletter. And then eventually the Sovereign Society did a little bit something for international living. And that's really during those years how we started growing the company. And I always, and our unique selling proposition, I the most important is that we feel an American should only have an account in Switzerland if there is enough wealth and if he believes that the world stock markets out there, be that Japan, be that Europe, Switzerland, you name it, that those be interesting places to invest. And on top of that, that he would believe that the U.S. dollar will be weakening. So our unique selling proposition since 1991, since I've become independent, is always, has always been, monies that come in U.S. dollars will eventually not be in U.S. dollars. That can be in Australian dollars, New Zealand dollars, rubles, yuan, you name it. A certain part of it will stay in U.S. dollars because with that we buy gold and silver. And gold and silver, of course, is traded in U.S. dollar, U.S. being the reserve currency. So we really need a clientele that's got enough wealth. They need to have a net wealth, in my eyes, of about $2 million to be able to start an account with us with about $500,000, but he cannot put all eggs in one basket. We have seen some strength in the U.S. dollar up until the end of 2015. So I think that is something that the reader should know. If he believes, as I strongly do, and as we have seen it during the past 3 months, that the dollar will be weakening, that there are opportunities in Australian dollar, New Zealand dollar, rubles, yuan, euro, Swiss francs, then we would be the right partner for him. If an American feels he should come to Switzerland to buy Apple, Google, or IBM, he should not do that. It is more expensive in Switzerland to trade those stocks than it is in the U.S., and they get all the information they need in the U.S. They don't need a Swiss asset manager for that.
So let's piece this together. Let's say that somebody has a half million or more. They are qualified for what you're talking about. They have that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
What would your portfolio look like? I know that everybody is different, but how much of that would be in just in other currencies and precious metals? And how much of it would be in foreign stocks?
Yes, at the moment we are generally speaking for the last couple of quarters we are underweight in blue chips, underweight in stocks.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment we only hold one stock in Switzerland, ABB. So we have virtually no stock exposure because we feel we've got a perfect storm brewing. We do have, however, and we have been buying since the beginning of the year, gold and silver stocks in Canada, be that Goldcorp, Silver, Wheaton, Pan American, what have you. We have been buying those stocks. We hold currencies, foreign currencies, and we've been buying those since the beginning of the year in Australian dollars, in short-term bonds, AAA bonds, AA bonds, the highest quality. Just bought some New Zealand dollar bonds this morning. Again, KfW, AAA, runs lifetime until August 2017 with a yield of 2.7%. The 2.7% is not very exciting, but we believe we will see a strengthening of the New Zealand dollar, of the Australian dollar, and therefore we have been buying those bonds. We also hold about 20% in cash, and the cash we hold in Swiss francs. The Swiss franc during the past 6 months has gained 6% against the U.S. dollar. We came from 103 Swiss franc back to right now, probably just below 96 Rappen, 95.90. So we've been Swiss francs, we hold that in cash. And although it's cash, we still perform 6% on that. We've been buying Australian dollars. The Australian dollar at the beginning of the year was at beginning of January was at about 137. Then it moved up to 145 in January and is currently back at 129.90. So we have also seen performance coming in from 138, 139 to 129 on the Australian dollar. We're performing on that and we're getting interest. The same is true for the New Zealand dollar. And we have also bought the ruble, the Russian ruble. We get 8% interest on the Russian ruble. The Russian ruble moved all the way up to 82 rubles for one U.S. dollar. And ever since the beginning of 2016, we moved from that 82 level back to 67. So the ruble has gained 15% against the U.S. dollar. These are commodity currencies, and this has also to do with, in my eyes, the low in the oil market, that we will probably be moving away from that $40 level. The low, of course, there was 26, 27. So as oil moves up, these commodity currencies will be moving up. So we've got about 30%.
Also, when you give your list, could you add your feeling about the euro, the British pound, and the Canadian dollar?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as I said, of course, we have been buying Canadian gold and silver stocks, Gold Corp, Silver, Wheaton, Pan American.
Right.
On the one hand, of course, because we still believe that there will be a second leg of the bull market in gold, but we also did it because we believe in the Canadian dollar and we believe that it's a commodity currency. And the Canadian dollar has, of course, done very, very well against the U.S. dollar during the past couple of months. On top of that, gold and silver stocks are up between 30 and 50%. So the Canadian dollar touched a high of $1.46 for the U.S. dollar, and it is now back at 129. So the Canadian dollar since the beginning of the year also gained about 11%. The British pound, of course, that's an interesting story. The British pound, of course, the weakness we currently have and are seeing coming in the British pound is logically because of the Brexit, Britain exiting the EU.
Right.
And that has been putting a lot of pressure on. At the moment, due to the problems we are seeing here in Euro, problems of refugees coming in, we have seen quite a bit of weakness in the British pound. I think the vote is going to be in June. And at the moment, David Cameron is really not having a very strong stand. It has at the moment turned. It seems that there are more British people in favor of a Brexit, of moving out of the EU rather than staying in. If that will happen, a lot will happen until June, but if that happens, we will see further weakness on the British pound. Should, however, the English people decide to stay in the EU, we will probably go back to that level of about, not too exciting, probably about that 60, 62 cent level. The high was 72. At the moment, we're close to 70. So the weakness of the British pound only has to do with the Brexit at the moment. And should they move out of the EU, further weakness. Should they stay in, then we will see the British pound strengthening. That's on the Canadian dollar and the pound. What was the other one you needed some info about, Adrian?
No, those were, that was it, the Canadian dollar, the British pound, and the
and
euro
the
itself.
Pound, right?
The third one I said was the euro.
The euro, of course, yes, very, very important. Well, of course, the euro, as you know, our friend called Super Mario, Mario Draghi, the head
right.
of the European Central Bank, is doing and has been doing everything he can to weaken the euro, as I believe a lot of countries try to weaken their currency, including the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
However, despite all the negative talk, despite all the problems that have been arising in Europe, Germany still being a bit of the locomotive, as such, of the whole euro society, the euro has been strengthening. The euro, of course, I mean, if you look back at the euro was at 105, even close to 104 twice. Second quarter of 2015, we were at 105, 104. Then again, the fourth quarter of 2015, which is only, I mean, we're talking 4 or 5 months ago, we
right.
fell to that 105 level. Then Draghi says, man, you know, kind of like a helicopter ban. I ban Bernanke, you know, no matter what it
right.
takes, I will drop money out of the helicopter. That's what Super Mario is doing at the moment. And negative interest rates, as you know, negative interest rate scenario in Europe, as we have it in Switzerland. He's been trying everything he can, and everybody's talking about this enormously super fantastic strong U.S. dollar. In the meantime, we have gone from 105 euro to close to 114. So
mm-hmm.
even the euro during the past 6 months or 5 months is up about 9%, and it's actually getting quite close to a 12-month high. I mean, if you go back to the first quarter of 2015, we were probably hovering at about, well, around 15, around 16. So we are close to a 12-month high, which is surprising because, as you know, unemployment rates are still fairly high. There is a lot of negative talk. Everybody seems to love the U.S. and no unemployment, and everybody is happy and so forth and dancing in the streets. But somehow the markets are not buying that. So I am actually surprised as to the euro still being close to that 114 level, but that's where we are. There was a lot of talk twice when we touched that 104, 105 on the euro, that it was going to be parity and then even well below parity. And in the meantime, if you, as I said, look back the last 12 months and we close to a 12-month high.
Now, let's talk about the U.S.
Yes.
for a minute. You're
yes.
in very few blue chips at all. What do you see for the U.S. markets from your perspective? Both, and divide it up. One, the securities market, and two, the currency.
Okay, well, it is, in my eyes, definitely so after the fourth quarter earnings that we have been, you know, seeing coming out of the U.S., that there is, at the moment, right now, we are in a corporate earning recession, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the stock market, in my eyes, will be very, very volatile in the months to come. And that includes all markets, but especially, in my eyes, the U.S. I mean, of course, you know, the Dow Jones, the S&P, they've made up yet again the second time. Remember, we fell to that 15,600 level in the third quarter of 2015. We touched 15,650 again during January, beginning of February. And now we're actually moving close to those highs of, what was it, 18,300 in the Dow Jones. We're back at 17,700. So it's been a decent rally, but I do strongly believe that there will be a larger correction, and we will not be moving up to high levels. Corporate earnings have been very, very weak for the fourth quarter in 2016. I don't see that changing. And that, of course, has to do with the U.S. dollar. I mean, that has to play in there. A lot of people say, well, with the, and in brackets, strong U.S. dollar, corporations who sell in foreign countries have a hard time to come up with decent earnings. So the strong U.S. dollar at the moment is really not helping anyone. And therefore, I also believe that Madam Yellen has a hard time just going up with interest rates, and she does not want a strong U.S. dollar. What surprises me, actually, and that's really been a surprise, as to how quickly things have changed during the past couple of weeks. We've seen a New Zealand dollar gaining 2% against the U.S. dollar in a matter of 24 hours. If you're close to currency market, that you talk a few bips, 100 bips being 1 cent. You see a few bips up and down. You don't see 2%, which would be two big figures. So there seem to be, at the moment, there seem to be weakness coming into the U.S. dollar despite some, you know, I'm not in that camp, but some people believe that there might be another interest rate hike in April. I absolutely do not believe that. If at all an interest rate hike, it's going to be in June, and if at all one more, then in December. But I do not believe that your economy is really as strong as the numbers that are giving to us. I mean, there is, in my eyes, I mean, of course, some people are doing well, but there is a lot of people who work for, you know, the lowest possible salary. A lot of people live on poverty stamps or whatever they call them, or food stamps, I don't know what they call them.
Right.
There is really, you know, all these wonderful numbers seem not to work in the economy. There is a lot of people in the U.S. who are suffering. That is what we are seeing here in Switzerland, and then on top of that, you know, weakness in the U.S. dollar might also have to do with your current political situation. You know,
yeah,
with elections coming up, with President Obama not being quite as strong as people would have expected, and then of course here in Europe, generally speaking, people are indeed a little bit disappointed that out of 320 million people, the two smartest ones should be Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. There
I
is
know.
In the news here that is disappointing. People are disappointed as to what's currently happening politically in the U.S. I have to say that.
I know, and I will quote you on it, and everybody's going to nod their head. So for the people who did cash out, and some people, many, many people that I know, did get frightened, because they have limited investments. They cashed out, and they're saying, well, we don't believe in market timing. What should we do? We've seen a rally. What do you do with that 20% cash, or what do you do with that? Sometimes people have more than that in cash at this time. Do you sit and wait, or would there be something that you would recommend?
Well, I personally, as an investment advisor, and I've got, after all this year, I would say quite a bit of cash lying around too. And I'm actually sitting at about 45% of my total wealth in cash. I hold quite a bit of gold and silver. I hold quite a few gold and silver stocks. And all the other stocks I'm holding, not all of them, but most of them, which I bought 2-3 years ago. And having said that, I get an income, so I'm not that worried. It probably goes to my kids eventually anyway.
Right.
But most of the blue chips, you know, I get decent dividends on it, but I haven't made any money of any of those stocks. And I think the same is true for a lot of the investors. They see the market going up and they say, oh, wow, nice rally in the market, but their personal stock positions are probably not showing them what the market is showing them in the, you know, the Dow Jones Index, the Standard & Poor's, the NASDAQ, and so forth and so on. So there will be this. So, yes, what I am saying is, keep your cash at the moment. If possible, definitely keep some cash outside of the U.S. dollar. And that, of course, can easily be done through ASI, through Rich Checken and his team. They know how to handle that.
Right.
We can set up the account for the client, and ASI can hold the dollars and send us the foreign currency. All that is easy. We've done that many, many times. Hold cash, if there is enough wealth, cash in foreign currencies.
Right.
If you believe, as I do, in a second leg of a bull market in precious metals, you will have to look, and they can even look at some gold. I don't do penny stocks.
Right.
But they can even look at some kind of penny stocks. And otherwise, of course, the gearing, if the second leg of the bull market in gold starts, then I hold physical gold too, you know, kilograms. But I also hold gold and silver stocks because that's where the money will eventually be. I mean, these stocks have been slaughtered for years. And notwithstanding, I am aware that, of course, I mean, people can say, oh, yeah, sure, you know, now we're going to buy silver wheat, and it was at $14 at the beginning of 2016, and now it's at $22. That's a gain of 65%. That is all very true. Fair enough. It has gone up. But, I mean, then if we go back a couple of years, these stocks were trading at $45, $46, and for a long time at $30. So there is, in my eyes, still money to be made. Same for Goldcorp. Of course, Goldcorp touched $14 in Canadian dollars. This is in Toronto. And moved up to 21. Oh, another 50%. But then, if you go, this stock was trading just about 4 or 5 years ago at $55. So these stocks have really been washed out. And I think that people should hold and, you know, buy them in Canada, buy them in Toronto, buy them in Canadian dollars. Then you've got some foreign currencies there. And, of course, my strong belief with a weak dollar that is coming in with weak markets to having a part of your total wealth in Switzerland, in foreign currencies and so forth and so on, makes a lot of sense, especially since, you know, Swiss banking still is one-stop shopping. You open your Swiss bank account, I can call the bank and I can buy kilograms of gold, Canadian stocks, Swiss stocks, German stocks, can buy Australian dollars. All that is done through that one Swiss bank account, and that's the big advantage. And also commissions have been coming down for the past couple of years. So I really strongly believe that if there is enough wealth, part of that should be out of the U.S. with everything that's currently happening there.
Now, just going back to gold for a minute, two questions, the quick one and then the longer one. Quick one is, other than Goldcorp, you had mentioned a couple of others, and when you say penny stocks, do you mean gold mining penny stocks?
Yeah,
is that what
you
mean?
Yeah, for example, there is one stock that, you know, used to look very, very exciting. It's not quite a penny stock, but it's Kinross Gold, which, again, of course, I mean, the low in Kinross Gold was probably $2, and currently it's at $4. A couple of years ago, it was at $18. So those are very cheap stocks, and if we see that second leg of the bull market in gold, I believe that Kinross could go back to $8 easily, and that's like 70-80% there, and you've got a stock in Canadian dollars. So those are not, you know, the big one, same as an oil stock, Baytex. You know, Baytex, which was worth $37, paid high dividends, they cut dividends, that's an oil stock. Now Baytex is trading at, what, $4? Should oil go back to $60, which I believe will happen in the next 12 to 18 months, Baytex will be trading at $10 or something like that. But, I mean, talking about those stocks, they are not stocks like Goldcorp or Silver Wheaton. This is more for someone who says, well, I don't mind doing something a little bit more sexy, and I don't mind the volatility. I mean, you know, that is something that has to be watched.
Now, going to physical gold, physical silver, ASI world, what's your take on that? Right now, let me tell you how Rich breached the question. Is gold cheap or expensive when viewed from outside the U.S. and outside the U.S. dollar?
It's a very interesting question, and I think people should be aware of that. I love that question because that's what I often have people look at, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, you live in Venezuela and you bought a kilo of gold 5 years ago, you made a lot of money because the Venezuelans probably devalued their currency 60% and you hold gold, and gold
right.
is traded in U.S. dollars. Even if you go to the Western world, an Australian who bought gold 12 months ago, the Australian dollar lost 30%. If the Australian holds a kilogram of gold, he did very well. Even for some of the Europeans, they didn't underperform in gold as the Americans do, because Americans think in U.S. dollars. Gold is traded in dollars. And therefore,
right.
they need the gold price to go up to make money. The Australian who bought a kilogram of gold or an ounce of gold at $1,200, okay, or at $1,400, and it fell to $1,200, and his currency lost 30%, he still made money in gold. So for a lot of foreign investors, this whole coming down from $1,900 to $1,050 during the past 5 years until
didn't
the end
mean
of 2015,
anything. They still
was
made
not
money.
As painful. It was not as
right.
painful for them as for the American.
Right. Now, but if you're correct that the U.S. dollar will get weaker, then we'll be in the same position.
Well, you will not be in the same position. That is actually the magic trick, of course, is and always has been. When you see the dollar weakening, you will, and this has historically been so over and over and over again, on a weakening of the U.S. dollar, you see gold rise. On
right.
the strength of the U.S. dollar, with the strength we have seen in the U.S. dollar the last 2 years, up until the end of 2015, you saw gold coming down, okay?
Right, so this
so
would be the time
then. So a weak U.S.
then.
Dollar gives you stronger gold prices.
Right, but this would mean that you buy now. You buy your gold
now
with
a
strong dollar.
It always, yes, that always depends on. I'm a strong believer of higher gold prices during the next 12 to 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
What we have been seeing, and I am, trust me, very, very close fundamentally. National banks who are buying gold, I watch all that. But I'm also watching the charts. I am a fundamentalist, but I am watching charts. What we have been seeing during the past 6 weeks on gold, we took out at 1,220 level, we moved to 1,270, fell, and the big one is 1,260. So we are at the moment, we are stuck in a bracket 1,220, 1,260. Right now we are at 1,238. So we need to be comfortable in gold to really say, well, this could be it. We need to leave 1,260 behind us. We then need to move up to 1,320. And when we break 1,320, then I am comfortable that we will see $1,500. That's all to the upside. On the downside, and we've been trying to do that several times during the last couple of trading days, should 1,220 be broken on the downside for 1 or 2 days, we could easily go to 1,180. So at the moment, it is really very difficult to say as to where we will be going short term. I believe longer term, yes, definitely gold, and that second leg of the bull market will eventually start, but it has not started yet. Bracket 1,220, 1,260, 1,220 on the downside, bad news, 1,260 on the upside, very good news. The big disappointment has been the poor man's gold. Silver should have, in my eyes, been trading above $16. We tried $16 over and over again. We tried it in October, we tried it in February, we tried it at the beginning of March, and we're back at $15.50 right now. So we need silver will eventually be, in my eyes, outperforming gold, and we probably see silver, if gold goes to that $1,500, we probably see silver going back to $20-$21, which of course performance wise then silver would be outperforming, because that would be a gain of 30% rather than about a 15-16% in gold. I am, however, having said that, I am a strong believer in gold and silver, but we have not been able to really put behind us that downside we have seen. Having said that, we've seen the same 2014, 2015, and now 2016, 3 years running, we've seen gold move up nice and strong during the first 3 months of every year, the last 3 years, to then fall off again. So we are not quite over the hill yet.
Now, these are answering a lot of Rich's questions, really a lot. So I just want to take a look at this.
Yes, sir. Ask Michael. What I've got is what he calls verbal diarrhea.
No. This is good. Okay, so this is just straightforward. Now, you answered it, but this straightforward. How can the U.S. dollar-based investor use the current dollar strength to their advantage? Now, I'm going to take from what you said. I just want to be sure. To answer that, I'm going to put in your discussion of commodity currencies.
Yes.
And what you think of it. That's one answer. Another answer is to buy gold or silver, because you do think that it's going to break through, but this could be for the long term. So they
Correct.
Have to think of it as buy and hold. And
Correct.
The other is that you see a future in energy, and
therefore
Correct.
In oil, yep.
In oil specifically. Okay, that's
mm-hmm.
different. Tell me about
yep.
your feeling about oil. You know, here in the U.S., people would tend to buy mutual funds that hold energy stocks or oil stocks, which have gone down very, very low. It's still a low. But would that be your way of participating in that? How would you participate
no,
in your
no.
belief
I
that
always participate. I always participate directly. I
okay.
don't do mutual funds. I don't do options. I don't do futures and no calls and puts. If
okay.
I like oil, I try to find an oil stock, a Canadian oil sands stock. If I want to do something in a precious metal stock, I do all the work it takes to come up with a good proposal for a gold stock or for an oil stock, and then I do a direct investment in that stock and not into mutual funds.
Right.
I am the one responsible for the investments and not a fund manager.
So, got it. Now we have two, that's important, and that will be in there. Two last questions. One, we have been writing at ASI a lot about negative interest rates. And
yep.
the place where we see it has happened is Switzerland.
Yes.
What actually happened? Why? And has it impacted? What was the impact, if any?
Well, we had a couple of impacts, of course. I mean, first off, our national bank, our big partner, and there is a lot of exporting going on in Switzerland. We don't have just banks and watch companies and insurances. We've got a lot of big factories who deliver parts to BMW, Mercedes, Volkswagen. There is a lot of industry in Switzerland. And the industry is delivering their parts into the EU, mainly Germany, but to a lot of European countries. Our national bank has been doing everything that is possible for them to keep the Swiss franc from further strengthening against the euro.
Okay?
The Swiss franc is, in the eyes of the National Bank, much too strong. On top of that, we are not able here in Switzerland to get any inflation going. So what the National Bank has been doing, they said, well, we go to negative interest rates of 0.75%, trying to weaken, amongst other things, to weaken the Swiss franc. The Swiss franc was at, you know, probably virtually parity or even below that. So that's what the National Bank has been doing. Therefore, negative interest rates unfortunately, we also have deflation, so people are not spending a lot at the moment. They think, well, it'll probably be cheaper 6 months. But the negative, and this is important, you should definitely put something in there. The negative interest rates are not for people like myself. If I have 300,000 francs cash lying, which is the equivalent of $300,000, if I have 300,000 francs cash in my account at any given bank, Credit Suisse, UBS, BF Vontobel, it doesn't matter, the bank will not penalize me with the 0.75%. It's between the banks and the national banks. So it is not for these negative interest rates, for the time being, are not for the private investor. Up to $1 million can be held in cash without the bank saying to you, you are now obliged to pay for these negative interest rates. Does that make sense, Adrian? Did you get
it? Absolutely,
that's important.
It does. I see it more affecting the pension plans, though, and the very big,
absolutely,
those are very
absolutely
big holdings.
That is definitely something. I'm going to be 61 in a few months, and of course, we can take our pension scheme out in cash and all that. But, you know, it used to be a turnaround rate of about 7% or something like that. And now, because of the very low interest rates, not only in Switzerland, it will also affect the U.S., of course. I mean, you have very low interest rates.
Right.
And that is, of course, going to cost us people, the baby boomers, who are now going to be retired. It's going to cost us money. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. On the other hand, of course, people are buying condominiums and houses in Switzerland like blue-assed flies. I mean,
right,
you get a LIBOR mortgage rate, London Interbank Offering Rate mortgage. I get one at 0.8% per annum, less than 1%.
Wow!
So
very interesting. Yep, and for U.S. people. Now, I don't think I'm going to put this in because you don't do this, but I'm interested just to ask you, can U.S. people buy Swiss real estate and own it on their own, or is it like Mexico and other places where you have to have?
Some places they can do this as holiday houses. In some places, such as Zermatt or Davos or St. Moritz, but only as a holiday house.
I see. All right.
Not as a house where they can stay 12 months a year.
Right, right.
As a second house. They need to have a house in wherever they live, and they can buy a holiday house here. But there are a lot of regulations on that.
Right, understood. All right, now getting back to, do you want to address, and Rich was concerned, he wanted to do this delicately, if you wanted to address it at all. And that was, are the European markets being affected by the issue of terrorism? Is it a market issue? Here it's
a political
issue.
It has not been. This is very tricky. It has not been an issue, as you remember, last week in Belgium.
Right.
There was some pressure on the markets, which lasted probably about 90 minutes. So that is not. At the moment, a big one. But
right,
should we have something happening like 9/11, you know what happened in New York at 9/11,
right,
or in the U.S., that will definitely affect markets. So should there be something where the Eiffel Tower will fall apart or anything else, you know, where thousands of people get killed, like you had it in 9/11, that will affect markets, but it will also take the Wall Street with it. The Wall Street is not going to stand alone. Everything is so interconnected nowadays that if something falls, if this whole domino game, whatever it is, everything is going to fall. And I would actually not be surprised, excluding terrorism, if we will see markets coming down led by S&P, Dow Jones, and NASDAQ, and all the other ones following suit.
Understood. All right. Well, I have now gotten an answer to everything that we need. And this is then going to get transcribed. Then I'm going to put it into, you know, a format. It may be two articles, it may be one. And we'll rock and roll. You'll get it. and then you'll make your changes. Okay?
Yes. No, I normally don't, because you are the much better writer than I am, but I would like to have just like to have a glance over it, you know, that market-wise everything is correct.
Right. You'll do more than that.
I think they should be published on April the 7th, I think. So, you know, that is what I understood. If you can make two articles out of it, even better. But I do feel, and then you are, of course, you are the specialist, we need to bring a little bit more selling into it rather than just information.
Right.
I window of opportunity, the dollar is going to weaken, you know, through ASI. ASI can help you setting up a Swiss bank account, a little bit more selling than normally.
I really do. I do understand, and Rich understands as well. Which is good. Okay. So, by the way, let me just bring you up to personal date, because you did that side. Very, very quick. We are still here in New Jersey. We still
have. Are you still married?
Yes. It's going to be 45 years in August.
Okay.
And we still have a place in Manhattan, so we're always thinking, and that we rent to other people, so we're always thinking, what do we sell and where do we really settle down? Our kids both, the big news is our kids both moved to L.A. And that was very big surprise, because they were really New Yorkers.
Wow.
And so the older one, who's 33 already, works for Disney.
Yep.
And the younger one, who's only 23, she's in casting. She's a television casting director. So I think they're going to stay there. So we very
You're going to move to that area too?
Well, we very quickly purchased a condo in near Palm Springs, which we like. But we rent that out too. So that's our present struggle. Our tenant is gone. Now we're trying to re-rent it. So for another year. And we'll know what's going on in a year. And that's it. We work continually with Michael.
And none of the kids want to live in that Palm Springs condominium?
No, they can't, because it's too far from where they work.
Oh, okay.
So my Disney son bought a beautiful home in L.A., a place called Silver Lake, which is very trendy today.
Yes.
And my daughter just ended up with a good enough job to get her own apartment in L.A., and that's what they're doing. So for me, it's under 2 hours. It's easy to see them. But, we're looking for a renter on that. And that's about it. Otherwise, we're also thinking about our own, you know, 2.5 years, we both reached 70.
Yeah,
so we're thinking,
amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Just flying by, right?
Just flying by.
Amazing.
And that's it. Okay. We'll see you soon. And I'll send this to you,
I look forward to that. Thanks so much, Adrian.
Thank
you. I send long emails to both Michael and Witt, trying to really get them back into the mood, because there's so many changes, so many new people. I talk to people who probably never have seen anything else than a U.S. dollar. They probably never seen a Swiss franc or euro. So I'm trying to educate them, and I was going to do something in the U.S. in July, so I might even stop by and you know, do a half-day seminar with the people who work there, because if you don't really believe and if you don't know about currencies and Swiss bank account, how are you ever going to sell anything like that to anyone?
Understood. And by the way, I did listen. I listened to the phone call you had with them. I did. They taped it, and they sent me the audio. So I do understand how you're trying to get through to them.
And
I think you should wait till July, because half of them don't know gold and silver yet. They're first learning that. So then in July they'll be ready for you.
If at all it'd be July. I wanted to go to Nashville for a couple of days to listen to some country music. I would fly into Washington and then fly to Nashville from there, you know. So it won't be before the second half of July, and I'm not just going to go over to, you know, spend half a day, and I don't have that sort of money to spend, so
that's
easy.
All right, we shall talk more. Take care.
Adrian, we should. Always lovely hearing from you, and we should, and I'm trying to reiterate that to Rich and Michael too, you know, that we should. We used to have, with Glenn, we had such a, we were on the phone 3 times a week. Now
yeah,
I'm on the phone with him, if at all, once a quarter.
Understood. Well, that
okay.
I will say that to him again as well, okay?
I appreciate it. Amen. Be good to yourself. You deserve it, okay?
You too. Thank you. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.